You're listening to the Evangel Wichita podcast, recorded live each week at Evangel Assembly of God in Wichita, Kansas. Download each week for fresh, relevant messages from the preaching team. Open your minds. Here we go.
We are in our series called First Things First, Living the Life God Designed for Us. And we're talking about the priorities that we should have as followers of Christ. Now, let me be very clear as we get started, as these guys are passing out these note sheets. If you do not have a relationship with Christ, if you don't call Jesus your Lord, if you've never taken that step of faith, the things that we're going to talk about, the things that we've been talking about over these few weeks, won't make any sense to you. They're not going to, it's not going to compute, it's not going to add up. But if you've made a decision to follow Jesus, if you call yourself a follower of Christ, and you've made that commitment, then these are the principles that God has laid out in His Scripture for you, so you can have a blessed life, so you can live the life that He's designed for you. And we've been, one of the areas that we've been talking about, these principles that we've been talking about over these past few weeks, is in the area of giving. And now I've said over the last several weeks that giving encompasses such a broad spectrum. Giving is much, much bigger than just your pocketbook. Giving is a big, big theme. But we're boiling it down to our finances. And we're looking at our finances. What are the things that God's laid out in Scripture for us regarding our finances, regarding our money, our possessions? What is it that He's talked about? A lot of people, the sad thing, and I've seen this, is that they've made a commitment to follow God, but they want to keep their finances and their relationship with God separate. They say, well, I want to follow God, but let me keep my money and my possessions over here. Don't mix the two up. I want to keep them separate. And it just doesn't work that way. As you read through Scripture, as you read through the principles that God's laid out, it doesn't work that way. In fact, Jesus talked about giving and stewardship a lot. 15% of His teachings were about money and possessions, more than His teachings on heaven and hell combined. Why? Because He knew that this was going to be an important area for you today. Now, we started, and let me just briefly say, we started a few weeks ago by saying the basis, the very beginning of all this talk about giving and finances begins with the attitude of our heart. That God is not after your money, He's after your heart. Ultimately, it all boils down to your heart. That's why I said, if you have a relationship with God, if you have a relationship with Jesus, these things will apply to you. Because it boils down to your heart. Because that's what God is after. He's after your heart, not just your money. But then we started looking even deeper. And we said, you know what? We need to have a foundation. And I have drawn a triangle over these last several weeks. I've drawn this triangle. And I said, we're going to build a triangle in our life. And this triangle just illustrates kind of the principles that we're talking about here. That there's three levels to this triangle. I know some of you can't see in the back. That's okay. It's a triangle. That we started with, and we talked about the last 2 weeks, that the bottom of the triangle has to be obedience. And we began it. You have to build a triangle this way. If you do not build a triangle this way, it's not going to stand. It's not going to work. You have to go in this order. And we started talking about obedience. And specifically in obedience, in relationship to our finances, is the tithe. We talked about the tithe. We said that we have to come to this place and we have to understand the principle that God's laid out for us in order for us to live the life that He's designed, that we have to get to know the tithe first. And I said, look, the very beginning is we have to come and understand that it has to be first. Obedience with the tithe has to be first. That God is incapable of being second. And we laid out the principle of the firstborn. We talked about the principle of the first fruits. And we said, God in His preeminence is first. No matter if you recognize it or not, He's always first. He has to be first. That's an attribute of God. He's first. And we said, you know what? We need to place the tithe first. And the tithe means, it simply means a tenth or 10%, right? So that was the first week. We talked about the principle that this needs to be first. Last week, we took it a little bit further, and I said, you know what? Not only is it first, but it's a test that every time you get paid, you decide whom you're going to worship with your first fruits. And I wrote that, we talked about that last week, that it's a test every time you see increase, you decide whom you're going to worship. And the ultimate thing is, it's a test of our worship, our faith in God. But here's the deal. It's not just a one-way test like we're used to in school, but it's a two-way test where God says, He says, you can test me in this and see, if you don't stay faithful in this, and you'll see me do incredible things in your life. He says, test me in this. This is the one area, right? He said, test me in this. So He said, the first level is obedience, the tithe. It has to start here. It has, before we can do anything else in this triangle, you have to be obedient. You have to be obedient. See, the second level that we're going to talk about today is being generous. In our culture, a lot of people would classify themselves as generous. But the reality, according to the Bible, you're not generous until you're obedient. You can't be generous until you're obedient first. And then finally, next week, we're going to talk about this, the very top of this triangle, which is sacrifice. And we need, if we want to live the life God's designed, we'll build in our finances on each of these areas. Each of these areas. A story I shared a long time ago, and this was, the reason I thought of this story is because this past week I sold our minivan. I no longer have a minivan. I'm not a soccer mom anymore. So praise the Lord. I just don't have it anymore. I watched the minivan drive away, and it was quite emotional after it left. You know, I didn't think it was going to be emotional, but it was emotional. We bought that minivan when Caden was born, just before, so it's been with us actually 14 years, this minivan. And so I sold it, and I've moved on, I guess. But I thought of the story that I shared a long time ago. It's been several years ago now, about an incident that I had with my daughter, and I'm going to owe her for this after I tell the story. She already knows I'm going to talk about it. Some of you may remember the story. But we were at Sonic one day, and we were in the van, and we were there ordering some food, and we ordered tater tots with our food. And we had this little game going where I asked, and I'll shorten the story a lot because I've told the story before, but I asked her for some tater tots, for her to share her tater tots with me, and she refused. She just said, "They're mine. And they're my tater tots." I'm like, "Excuse me. Did I not just pay for the tater tots just 2 seconds ago? If I wanted to, I could buy all the tater tots at Sonic and fill this van with the tater tots if I wanted to. You understand, I'm asking you for like 2 tater tots and you're refusing to give them to me, and I could fill this van with tater tots. I could keep them all for myself if I want to. I provided the tater tots for you. I could buy my own. All I asked was for a little bit." And she was like, "No, they're mine. I'm not going to give it. I'm not giving you any tater tots. I'm not going to share what I gave her in the first place back with me." I thought that was interesting. That was interesting. And here's what I know. The height of ingratitude is for God to give you or me something and then for us to act as if it's our own. We've talked about this, right? For him to give us something and then we turn around and act like it's all ours. We don't want to share. We don't want to give back. But instead, we're like, "It's mine. I'm going to possess it. I'm going to keep it with everything I have. I am not giving anything back to you. It's all mine." And I had to come to this realization that everything I have is a gift from God. Everything that I have is from him. He's provided it for me in the first place. And here's what I want you to remember. My marker's over here. Here's what I want you to remember. That this first area, we always have to understand this idea of stewardship. That everything that we have is a gift from God. Like the tater tots were a gift from me to my daughter. Everything that I have is a gift from the Lord. And stewardship acknowledges that. It says, you know what, everything I have is a gift from God. That God owns everything, it's not mine. God owns everything, it's not mine. But I work. God owns everything, it's not mine. And I want you to understand that idea of stewardship in this series. That ultimately you're not the owner, you are a steward, and it's totally different things. That ultimately, this is how it is. He's given it to you. He's blessed you with it. He's provided all these things for it. You've been trusted by God with money, with possessions, with stuff. He's given that to you. And you decide who you're going to worship with it. You decide what's going to happen. Effective biblical stewardship is using God-given resources to accomplish God-given goals. Like we talked about this morning, the goals that we have of supporting David as he goes and provides this school, Business Unusual, that we can be a part of that. So it's our triangle. Once we've decided that we're going to be obedient, once we've come to this decision that it's not really mine anyway, I'm a steward, not an owner, and I want to be obedient, then I can move into this next step, which is being generous. Let's just say that I give my kids some money, and I give them this money, and they are, since they don't have jobs yet, so, you know, that's a whole other issue, but anyway, they don't have jobs, so I give them money, and they decide they're going to go out to eat with their friends, and they go out to eat with their friends, and they come home from eating out with their friends, and they give me the bill. They, and maybe you've had this experience. They show me the bill, and they say, hey, you know, this is what it cost for us to eat while we're out, and look how generous we were with the tip. What am I going to say? That you're not generous with that tip. That's my money. You weren't generous with anything. You were generous with my money. So I need you to understand, obedience is the first step. Giving someone else's money is not being generous. That's being obedient, right? If you don't start with the tithe, we talk, you're stealing. Okay, so we've all learned that. Don't forget. And the pushback comes, well, I give. I'm generous. I give to the Red Cross when they ask. I give to the Girl Scouts when they have cookie sales. I'll buy from the Speedy Light bake sale next week. I'll give all that time. When I see someone on the street, maybe I'll give to them. I'm not really into this percentage thing. I don't believe in all that stuff. I'm just going to give when it's good for me. See, we have to stop. If you're not tithing first, you're not obedient, you're not generous. You have to start with the obedience first. It's disobedience. And tithing isn't being generous. That's being obedient. We have that? I'm kind of going over that again. If that's all you do, you're being obedient. You're on the first level. That's where you start. So when are you generous? That's what we're going to talk about today. When are you generous? Generosity comes when you take the next step beyond obedience. You are faithfully tithing, giving back to God the first 10% of your increase. Then you come and say, okay, what else can I do? Maybe you make a weekly or a monthly commitment to missions. That's being generous. That's above and beyond. Maybe you help with our missionary guests that come on a Sunday morning. That's above and beyond. That's being generous. You give to children or students that want to go to camp. That's being generous when we have camps. You provide at this bake sale next week. You give $20 instead of 50 cents. You know, that's being generous. Maybe as a student, you buy lunch for another student who doesn't have any money. That's generous. Maybe you help a coworker having a hard time. That's being generous. It's after you've built the tithe. You're committing to being obedient. So watch this. Here's the deal. Obedience is when you give what is required. Generosity takes it the next step and gives more than what's required. Obedience is giving what's required. Generosity steps in and says, I'm going to give more than what's required. Now here's what I found, and I did some research on the internet this week and found some studies at different places. That the percentage of American Christians who are obedient is low. Just this first part. And I'm going to read these numbers to you. This is from 2016. Tithers make up only 10 to 25% of a normal congregation. Only 5% of the United States tithes, with 80% of Americans only giving 2% of their income. Christians are only giving at 2.5% per capita, while during the Great Depression they gave it 3.3% rate. So if that's just in the obedient level, the generosity part of this triangle is even lower. So let's look at Scripture. Let's look at what happens. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 35. And we're going to read a lot of Exodus here. I want you to see generosity on display. Exodus chapter 35. Let me set this up for you. The Israelites have been wandering in the wilderness after escaping Egypt, right? They're on their way to the promised land. And the journey seems endless. They're journeying. They're endless. And Moses has just brought down the Ten Commandments. And God's instructions, he's given the instructions for the people. Now Moses has some new instructions, and he has this opportunity for the people to be generous. And Moses comes and says, we're going to have an opportunity. We're going to build a tabernacle for the Lord. Okay? And we're going to do it by taking an offering, basically. He says, bring your silver, bring your gold, bring your bronze, bring your fine cloth, bring your best materials, bring all that stuff. We're going to take an offering for the tabernacle, or the place for God, okay? It's a portable place for God. So if you've got jewelry, gemstones, all these different things, bring that. If you're a craftsman, come ready with your trade so you can help with the tabernacle. It's an amazing place for God. Okay, so now look at Exodus 35. Go down to verse 20. Look at this. Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work of the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. Now notice something. They didn't pass a plate. They didn't do all that stuff. He said, bring it to the building site. Drop it off. Right? Bring it all here. 22. And all who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold, jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, ornaments, and they all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen, or goat hair, ram skins, dyed red, or hides of sea cows brought them. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord, and everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. So everyone's going through their stuff. What can we give to God? This is an opportunity to be generous. What can we do? What can we do? Verse 25. Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen. And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair. They're making things. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastpiece. See, they didn't just provide for the tabernacle. They brought for everything that was going to be in the tabernacle as well. They bring in stuff for everything. They're bringing it all. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. And all the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do. Now, go to chapter 36. Look at verse 2. Then Moses summoned Bezaleel and Oliab, those are great names, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. Look at that. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. In other words, Moses didn't keep asking. The people just kept giving and giving and giving. They were like, they had hearts that were moved by the Spirit of God, and they had this opportunity for generosity. And it's like the spirit of generosity just swept through the camp. And instead of people saying, what's the minimum I can give? What's the minimum I have to give? They started asking the question, what can I give? How much more can I give? What do I have? Maybe I can make more. Now look at verse 5. The guys building the tabernacle took a break, and look what they tell Moses in verse 5. The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done. What does that mean? We've got what we need and then some. That's enough. We're there. In fact, Moses, we're past there. Now, verse 6, this is remarkable. Remarkable. So Moses sent out orders through the camp. Men, women, no more offerings for the building of the sanctuary. The people were ordered to stop bringing offerings. There was plenty of material for all the work to be done. Enough and more than enough. Come on. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this situation right here? There is such a spirit of generosity right here in this that Moses had to literally command the people to stop giving. He came to stop. Too much. We're there. We're beyond there. Let's just say, in our situation here, we were going to take an offering, and we said, we want to pay off the rest of the mortgage. That's our only debt that we have. We want to pay off the rest of the mortgage on this building. We're going to take an offering. We're going to ask you to be generous. It's above and beyond your tithe. We're going to take this offering. And so I send a letter out to the congregation, send all the membership, and we say, hey, come prepared. We are going to take this offering. We are going to pay off the mortgage. And everyone in the congregation started looking at each other, started asking themselves, what is it that I can give? What is it that I can do? What can we sell? What can I, you know, maybe I put some on eBay or maybe I sell some things. Maybe I can make some things to help get money. How can I give things? Maybe I have a garage sale. Maybe I'll cash in some stock options to help with this because I need to be generous. And we start coming together. And this attitude of generosity just started taking over the church. And the question that's usually asked is, how much do we need? Suddenly changed to, what can I give next? And because of the generosity, we completely paid off the mortgage, and we was quick, and we still had plenty left over to fund ministries for a long time. Our budget never had another shortage, never had another problem. And finally, on a Sunday morning, I had to stand up here in front of everybody and say, look, okay, enough. Stop bringing money. I would make the newspaper just because I stood up here and said, stop bringing money, right? Stop bringing your stuff. We've got more than enough to do everything that God's asked us and put in our hearts to do. We've got more than enough. You have to stop with the generous giving. I'm serious. No more. I'm commanding you to stop today. That would never happen, right? That will mark, that's foolish. That would never happen. But wouldn't that be amazing? People will be talking about that all over the city. This is the fact that I stood up and said, stop bringing your money. What pastor said that? I'd probably be on the national news. This is the pastor that actually told his church to stop bringing money. You say, that's not possible. That's not possible. It's not possible. That would never happen. But I just showed you in Exodus that it happened. It happened. That very thing happened. God's people were so motivated by generosity, so motivated by giving that they gave and they gave and they gave and they kept giving, and we have the record here in Exodus. Here's a serious question for you to ask yourself this morning. What could we accomplish for God if we moved beyond obedience to generosity? If we fully grasp obedience and didn't stay there, but asked God, how can we move forward? How can I be generous? What could we accomplish for God? I believe if everyone was just obedient, we would have hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, more a year, just to pour into ministry, to do the things, to help plant different churches, to send out missionaries, to reach lost people in Wichita, to do the things around the world. But if it moved beyond obedience to generosity, just think. The results wouldn't be forgotten. They wouldn't be forgotten. Could what happened in Exodus happen again? I believe it could. I believe it will. As we get this idea to move past obedience into this generous spirit that the Lord wants us to have. And we've had moments like this. This isn't like we've never been like this here at Evangel. We've had moments where we've been incredibly generous. And over the time I grew up in this church, and also these last 11 years that we've been here, we've been incredibly generous. And the offerings that we've done have gone to amazing things. When missionaries come in once a month, we bless them. We are generous. From different missions projects, I even held this Bible up to you at one of our Wednesday night meetings. I don't think I did it on Sunday. But we provided, our church provided a Bible in an for the first time in this language, the Lisu language, for the people in Burma, their heart language. And for the last 3 years, we've been a part of this project. And my dad and I were able to be at the meeting this past couple months where we heard the report of the first Bibles that are going to be going out at the beginning of 2018. And they gave us a copy of this Bible, first time in their language, the Fire Bible, Pentecostal study notes, Pentecostal resources in here for pastors that are just crying out for resources in their own heart language. This is what we've been generous. We can do these things. But think about what would happen if the percentage grows and the number of people that are saying, you know what, I'm not only going to be obedient, but I'm going to be generous. I'm going to see what God would have me do. I'm going to be generous. And I've decided in my life, and Crystal and I have come to a place in our lives that we don't want to just be obedient. We want to start there, but we want to ask God, how can we be generous? How can we be generous? I want to move to that second place. And you know what I found out? That we talked about this percentage in the obedience area, that it's a percentage. It's the same for everyone. Everyone has the same tenth, the same 10%. Now the amounts change, but it's the same 10% to be obedient. But what I found in this level, it's different for everyone. That as God begins to speak into your life and show you ways that you can be generous, it's different for you than it is for me. But the spirit stays the same. It's the same spirit, the same attitude. It's our heart. That's what we talked about. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, challenged them to be generous. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8, and then 10 through 13. Look at verse 6. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You've read these verses before. It says, when you act, look, give out of generosity, and God will respond with generosity. Look at verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Look, I've never met a grouchy, generous person. Generous people are always joy-filled. If you know generous people, they're not grouchy. Stingy people are grouchy, right? We have the Christmas carol. We see that, right? Joy comes from giving, sharing, not keeping and hoarding. Okay, you know that. Verse 8, look, down to verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Let me read that to you in the Message, what Eugene, how he translates it. He says this: God can pour out the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. Now drop down to verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Look, when you generously give, God will bless you even more so that you in turn can generously give it away every chance that you have. It's like the story of the tater tots. If Alexis ever realized at that moment that I gave those to her, and if she's just generous with those tater tots, those few that she has, I'm going to bless her with more. I'm going to bless her with more. I'll bless her with many, many more tater tots. And so all of a sudden she changes her perspective and she's looking for ways to give away the tater tots. You can have some of my tater tots. Instead of saying they're mine, she's looking for ways to say, you only want one? Here, take two or three. Have a whole cup full. They were given to me anyway. They're a blessing to me. They're not really mine. I want to be generous. I love sharing them with you. Look at verse 11. I can't get those on. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And look, don't miss this next part. Through us, your generosity will result in what? Thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Do you see that? Look at those verses, 11 through 13. Your generosity is not supposed to result in you getting credit and awards, okay? Instead, your generosity results in people glorifying, magnifying, worshiping more, thanking God. That's what happens when you're generous. God is glorified. That's what's amazing as you move up this triangle here. As you begin to move up this triangle, God's name is glorified even more. But there's another side, I understand. We talked about obedience the first couple weeks, and we said there's another side, there's disobedience. That's the flip side to being obedient. You can obviously be disobedient. The opposite of generous is there is a choice you can make. You can be generous or you can be stingy. And the Bible talks about that. Look at the result for the person who refuses to be generous. Proverbs 28:22. A stingy man is eager to get rich and is unaware that poverty awaits him. So let's review. When you're generous, God gives you more so that you can keep being even more generous. When you're stingy and you're focused on yourself and you're keeping everything for yourself, the result is you lose it all. Well, when you put it that way, it's kind of easy to choose between the two, isn't it? But here's where it gets tricky, I guess. This is what I don't understand sometimes. And we understand obedience. We can get this obedience idea. And we may even get to the point where we believe we have to be obedient. And we're at that place. But like I mentioned before, some people think this is an option. Even more people believe generosity is an option. You finally get to this place where you're like, okay, I see where obedience is the key and I have to do the obedience thing before I get started. But then you move into this generosity thing, and you push back the same way. Well, that's an option. We think that just because this is the obedience level that God wants us to stop here, He doesn't want you to stop here. He wants you to keep moving up in the triangle. He wants you to keep moving up. He wants you to move from obedience to generosity. Look at some more scripture. Book of 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 through 19. Paul's writing to Timothy, giving instructions for leading the church. You can see all that. But look at verse 17 in chapter 6. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. See? Verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Now, here's what I see there. I guess, when I look back at the beginning of verse 17, I'm not supposed to sit up here and gently encourage you to be generous. I'm supposed to challenge you. I'm supposed to command those. I'm supposed to tell you this in a strong way so that you're not attached to your stuff, but that you will go beyond obedience and move into this generosity, that you will move from obedience into generosity, and you are willing to share. Well, why? Verse 19. In this way, they will lay out treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Now, okay, where's Paul? What's Paul talking about here? Well, he's echoing the words of Jesus, who says this in Matthew chapter 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Look at verse 21. We've talked about this. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Generosity, the second level. It's much more than about giving money. And I've said this before, God isn't after your money. He's after your heart. That's the theme. I hope you see that over and over and over again. We started this entire talk, the first week, talking about it's about your heart. And it's still true this morning that God wants your heart. He wants your heart. Now, it would be a perfect place to take an offering. But we're not going to do that because this is more than just an offering. This is about a mindset. This is about changing principles, changing our idea of what God has for us, about living life differently, okay? It's more than about taking an offering. So I want you to think about that. It's more than that. This is a new way to live, a new way to approach your life. That's what this is. A new way to go about things. It's about building on this triangle that we started. It's about building from obedience and moving up to generosity, ultimately sacrifice. It's changing your heart. It's about building on these principles that God wants you to grasp today. Here's two things I want you to remember as we go. First, this is powerful. Obedience will bring peace. When you walk in obedience, it will bring peace. And that's applicable to a lot of different areas, not just giving. But obedience will open the doors to peace in your life. The second thing, a life of generosity results in something completely different than peace. A life of generosity will lead you to joy. Are you struggling with disappointment? Are you struggling with discouragement? Does it seem like those things come around all the time, every day? Are you trying to change a bad habit? Are you in a battle? Are you feeling powerless and hopeless in all these different areas? Does it feel like you've lost your joy? I would challenge you to not let those feelings stop you from being generous. Because generosity will unlock joy. Generosity will unlock joy in your life. So here's what we decided to do we're going to give and call you to a generosity challenge this week. All right? A generosity challenge. I would say, well, let me get the ushers. You're coming forward. Come on down, guys. We're going to give an envelope to everyone in this room, okay? They're coming down. They're going to pass out some envelopes to you. I would say, if you are middle school and above, take one of these envelopes. If you don't want to participate in the challenge, then don't take an envelope. But middle school and above, they're going to go down the aisles and hand out envelopes, okay? These guys are going to move around. There's some instructions that are inside the envelope. Here's what we want you to do. Well, let me back up. Also in this envelope, we're going to help you. There is varying amounts of money in this envelope. That excited you. We want you to be creative this week and be generous to someone else. You may take this money that's in this envelope. You may want to add to this money that's in this envelope. You may pocket this money. I don't know if you're going to be generous to yourself. I don't know. I'm not going to follow up. But we want to challenge you to be generous with someone this week. On the card is some instructions. And the very last instruction is when you ask the Holy Spirit to open up an opportunity to be generous, we want you to share your story with us. We want you to share the story of you being generous this week. Okay, so you have 7 days till next Sunday. 6 days, I guess. And there's some different ways. We want you to send us a private message on our Facebook page. If you're not on Facebook, there's an email address. We want you to email your stories. We want you to write out, what is it? How did God impact you this week? What happened when you were generous with someone else? Because I believe that as you walk through this week with open eyes, asking the Holy Spirit to provide an opportunity to be generous, He's going to show you something incredible. And my prayer is, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I'm getting you started. That as you move forward, that you're going to keep looking for the opportunities to be generous. That you're going to look for more opportunities. You're going to say, you know what, God? It's all yours. As you provide and as you give, I'm going to be generous in ways that I never thought possible. Generosity challenge. Now, I'm not going to follow up. These bills are not marked. I do not know where they're going. There's no tracking device on any of these bills. If you put them back in our offering plate, I will not know. If you put it in your pocket and go to McDonald's, I will not know. That's entirely up to you. But ask the Lord. He can say, I'm going to be generous and give myself a Big Mac. You know, that's great. I'm a supersize, you know, whatever. Look for an opportunity to be generous this week. Maybe it's buying a coffee for the person behind you. Maybe it's giving to someone in need at your work. And maybe it's just a small amount. Maybe you're going to add to what's in that envelope. Because everyone has a different amount. Maybe it's family. You're going to get together and put all of it together and do something bigger. You're going to get creative with it. Take photos of what you do and then send us in our email or give us a message on Facebook. We want to hear your stories because we're going to collect the stories and we're going to start sharing the stories of generosity from this church. How Jesus and God is opening these opportunities for you. It's a generosity challenge. It's for you. You see, I've decided, me, that I'm going to move beyond this into this. I'm saying, God, how can I be generous? It's a different mindset. It's a principle that's not mine. It's all His anyway. God, when you ask me to be generous, I want to be generous. And just think, if all of us in this room had that mindset to move to generosity, and I had to stand up here and say, stop giving the money. These are the principles that God has. First things first. These are principles in relation to our finances. And next week, look, I'm going to challenge you even more. Next week, this is the smallest part of the triangle. There's a reason for that. It's tough to get to the sacrifice. It's a whole different place. But watch, as you are generous this week, watch the joy that comes.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. For more great teaching, check us out on the web at evangelwichita.org or connect with us at facebook.com/evangelwichita.